The WBC is over. What a tournament. Japan coming out on top. And what a remarkable finish in that tournament. Shohei Ohtani versus Mike Trout and the strikeout on a 3-2 count. Absolute scenes. Congrats to Japan. And I must say, international global baseball has had a stunning few weeks, no doubt about it. Now, all attention turns to spring. And we are just over 1 week away from opening day. We're starting to get into what are we seeing here with the Marlins? What trends have emerged in spring? Yes, wins and losses do not matter overall, but performances do. And what are we seeing from the numbers thus far? We're going to dig into some of the numbers, high level, but just some of the trends that are emerging through spring, all on today's Locked On Marlins.
You are Locked On Marlins, your daily podcast on the Miami Marlins, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings from England and welcome to Locked On Marlins. This is your daily Marlins podcast. It's your team every day. Thanks for making Locked On Marlins your first listen of the day. This one is out early doors. There was no episode yesterday. Apologies for that one. I assumed that everyone was watching the final of the WBC and just thought, you know what, I'm going to wait to see what happens and put one out early for everyone to enjoy. And we can start thinking about Marlins baseball. And what a final it was, what a tournament it was, and what a showcase for Miami as well in terms of the baseball hub and the Mecca. Just shows what energy there could and should be in Miami for baseball. That's another topic for another day, but Japan came out on top. I'm your host, as I mentioned, Peter Pratt. Hit me up on Twitter, at @MiamiMarlins_UK. Hit subscribe to the pod wherever you get them. It's free and available everywhere. And there is a YouTube channel. Head on over to there. Even if you are just a listener and you like the podcast vibe, I do, head over to YouTube and hit subscribe too. The subscriber count is trending. Not quite the rocket emoji, but it's trending in the right direction. It's probably the right way to describe it. You get all of the visual there on that one. You'll see it's a solo pod. I'm flying solo here on Wednesday, the 22nd of March. And I wanted to start to get into the numbers. Some numbers. Not real deep dive numbers. I haven't got Sean Barrett with me, but I just wanted to just look at some high level numbers for spring and what we're seeing, what we're concerned about, what we're excited about. There's a few ways to skin this one. So this should be a fun one, guys, no doubt. Overall, right now, it's fair to say spring has just been kind of just trickling along. We've had the WBC, obviously, kind of right in the middle of spring, which is kind of a bit funky and has taken our eyeballs, our attention away from the Marlins and spring training and Major League Baseball spring in general, because, you know, fundamentally it's not overly exciting, particularly compared to the WBC, which is full of excitement, no doubt. But in the next week or so, clearly the eyeballs, the momentum, the buildup will really start to ramp up now as the Marlins welcome the New York Mets into Lone Depot just over a week's time on Thursday. So that there's a lot to be excited for, and it's going to be really intriguing. It's going to be a really intriguing season. The Marlins, I would say, have a really tough schedule in the early part of the year. So I think for the Marlins, it's really important to hit the ground running here, make an immediate impact, and, you know, not just be way behind the eight ball early doors. I think that's the critical thing here, is just come out firing as best they can. We've started to see there's already one element, just to kind of away from the offensive guys and some of the stats I want to dig into. But Johnny Cueto seemingly bothered with some soreness, some stiffness. He's being given an extra day or two to make sure that he doesn't kind of overexert himself and ends up needing a prolonged period of timeout. So the Marlins are already being, their pitching depth, their starting pitching depth, potentially already being tested in some ways. Whilst the 1-5, maybe 1-6, you feel pretty comfortable with, it definitely starts to thin out pretty quick there now with Max Meyer, Sixto Sanchez not being available clearly, and Jake Eder working his way back. So it's going to be interesting if the Marlins have, you know, if Cueto does have a period out, and one or two of the other guys potentially in April, you know, the Marlins are going to be really tested early doors for a club that's leaning heavily on its pitching, not so much on its defense, but it needs to lean on its defense. But from a pitching first club, an organization with a contact heavy offensive approach, they're going to need that pitching to be as healthy as it can be throughout the year. It's the one question around this rotation. Can they deliver the innings? Can these guys deliver the body of work? The talent, the stuff is absolutely there in the rotation. We know about it. We're dreaming about it. But there is that health risk, and that health risk is already starting to maybe slightly show with Johnny Cueto. We'll wait to see what happens. I'm not totally clear on where things are at. Clearly, the focus has been all on the WBC, so it's all been a little bit lost in the wash, I would say, with Cueto. But I think the indication is he's going to be okay for opening day. It's just precautionary, just kind of pushing back, not asking him to do too much. I think he seemed to be struggling as well with the pitch comm technology and calling his own pitches. We're also hearing, just on a separate note, we're also hearing that Rob Manfred is due to, in the next couple of days, talk about maybe some tweaks to the new rules. So I think that's another interesting thing to keep our eyes on. From the reporting around that, it doesn't sound like there's any wholesale changes to those new rules that's expected, but maybe just some minor tweaks. I do think the one thing that's in my mind is, the pitch clock itself, is it a little bit too short with no runners on base, perhaps? Equally, I think the one bit that's been a little bit awkward is the batter in the box and the batter being alert to the pitcher within a certain amount of time. And then there's quite a long window by when the pitcher actually has to throw the ball. So the batter could be stood in the box alert for what could be like over 10 seconds. And so it feels a little bit long normally in, you know, I say normally, but historically, you know, if that kind of pause was happening, the batter would just ask for time and come out. So I do wonder if they slightly tweak that dynamic. It feels a little bit unfair to the hitter that he's left powerless and out of, you know, without control there. And the pitcher actually is just going to kind of use a bit of gamesmanship maybe to use all of the time to unsettle the hitter. And I don't think this is about unsettling the hitters. Again, that's the point. They're trying to make these rule changes to create some more offense and some more action and some more fun. And I don't think one of the intentions is to unsettle hitters and leave them exposed to pitchers, you know, using the rules and the clock maybe to their advantage. So we'll wait to see on that one. I think it's going to be an interesting you know, a couple of days to see how the rules play out. But overall, I'm not expecting anything wholesale, perhaps an extension of the clock, and perhaps they look to tweak this batter being alert by a certain amount of time rule as well. So wait to see on that one. Let's get into some stats, but before we do that, let's get into our first ad of the day, and it's our good friends over at FanDuel. So let's pump up these sexy graphics for those that are watching. See, that's why you should be watching. You're missing out on the graphics, guys. So head over to there. Hit subscribe, of course, to YouTube. The tournament, the NBA tournament season is heating up and is now the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. New customers, they get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. You just have to download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. You can bet on everything in the game, from money line, point scorers, and the number of threes drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Wonderful. Right, let's get into some stats then, guys, and some high-level observations. That's how I'm going to describe it. And for some reason, I've used the Phillies as a comparison point. I don't know why I chose the Phillies. Maybe because I slightly slandered them on Twitter recently, saying that I thought the Marlins would finish ahead of them and they would be a sub-500 club. A lot of people disagree with that, which is absolutely fair. But Baseball isn't played on paper, guys. Just to remind you on that one. Anything could happen with the Phillies. Anything can happen with this team. We'll wait to see. Anyway, let's start with the power for the Marlins in this offense. Well, actually, the preface to this, the Marlins offense during spring in totality has been putrid. It's been really bad. Really bad. Like, it's... And I don't think we really need to kind of dig into that. But listen, they're way adrift in terms of offensive production and runs and all the major categories the Marlins are way down on. So it's not been good. As I mentioned, the WBC certainly doesn't help because they missed a few guys, but everyone's missed a few guys. So let's talk about the power. Where is the power? Well, what I would say is that's been a major issue for the Marlins in spring. The home run leader thus far, do you know who it is without me telling you? Who's leading the Marlins in spring in home runs? Not Lewis Brinson, would have been Brinson in previous years, but it is a two-way tie for the home run leader, the home run champ in spring for the Marlins, and it's Jazz Chisholm Jr., yes sir, and Avisail Garcia. The problem is they've only had two home runs each. So when I compare that to the Phillies, for example, their home run leader is Derek Hall. He's leading the way with five home runs. For the Marlins more generally, so in terms of home runs itself, only nine players have actually hit a home run in spring. In all of these games combined, there's only been nine players to hit a home run in spring. The Phillies, they've had six players in total have hit more than two home runs. So Avi and Jazz are pacing the Marlins with two. And the Phillies have six players that have hit more than two. As I mentioned, Derek Hall leading the way with five. Quite a stark contrast there in terms of home run production from the Phils. Let's have a look at the number of... I mean, their list goes on and on and on. They've got tons. Tons of players hitting home runs. Alec Bohm, Hoskins, Sosa, Cave, Clemens, Castellanos... Start. They've got tons of guys just chipping in with multi home runs during spring. Okay, so that's the first thing. The home run hasn't been there thus far for the Fish. Is that a concern? Overall, I'd say not. The Marlins are clearly not built in that way right now with home run production. What we'd like to see is Jorge Soler. We'd like to see Jazz, and we'd like to see Avisail Garcia pacing the club. That's the expectation, is those three guys should be pacing the club in home runs. It's, you know, how they stack up versus other teams and those home run leaders, we'll wait to see. This stat doesn't shock me or surprise me, to be honest with you. The Marlins don't have a ton of home run hitters right now. They've gone in a slightly different direction organizationally, so that is what it is. Okay, with that being said, what about the contact? So if this team is to now be a contact-heavy team, How have the guys performed in spring? I must say, to be honest with you, it's a little bit concerning as well. What I mean by that is only two guys on the Marlins spring training roster have double-digit hits in spring, okay? So only two guys have 10 or more hits in total. Those guys are Garrett Cooper and Jesus Sanchez. Jesus Sanchez having what I would describe as a pretty nice spring, to be fair. Not only is he getting hits off lefties, stealing some bases, a little bit of power here and there. Like, Jesus Sanchez having a decent spring. The Marlins with two guys with double-digit hits in spring. The Phillies, they have eight guys thus far with double-digit hits in spring. So not overly, you know, The Marlins are trying to go contact heavy. The problem is that isn't seemingly leading to a ton of contact. Jazz is there on nine hits and Birdie just behind that as well. But for me, it's not a shocker either that Garrett Cooper is pacing it for the Fish. He's had 37 at-bats, one of the higher number of at-bats on the roster. And that's kind of Cooper's game, right? We're looking for Coop to be in that kind of maybe 4-5 spot, 3-4-5. Let's see where he kind of ends up. But for Coop, it's just about, you know, contact. I was going to say gaps, but really there's been no doubles or triples for Coop. One home run and seven RBIs, which is leading the team also. So Garrett Cooper, is kind of doing what we expected to do. Hits, driving runners in, bit of power here and there, one home run. Like to see a bit more gap action. But overall, that is, encouraging, I'd say, for Coop. And also encouraging for Jesus Sanchez. He's had five doubles, no home runs, but five doubles overall thus far. And in 37 at-bats, 11 strikeouts, two walks as well, and three stolen bags. So like I mentioned, Jesus Sanchez putting together a real nice spring, a real mix of stuff, hitting against lefties, and he's got an OPS over 800 at 818 currently on Wednesday, the 22nd of March. Okay, so what I would say on the contact side is we would normally expect to see Mean Gene Segura, Luis Arraez right at the top of these kind of charts. And clearly those guys have been away with the WBC rosters. And so it's a little bit misleading right now in terms of hits. But for me, good to see Coop up there. Really encouraging to see Jesus Sanchez up there. There's a lot of talk about his roster spot, whether he'll make this opening day roster because of the lack of minor league options remaining. Most assume that he will. I think that's everything that's coming out, is that he will make this roster unless they look to go in a different direction with via a trade, perhaps. But I think he's done everything and put his best foot forward, Jesus Sanchez, thus far. Okay, so if contact has been down a touch and maybe not quite in line with expectations, what are we seeing from the strikeout? Because really, we should be seeing the strikeout guys, coming down a touch as well. So what have we seen on that front? Well, the leader in strikeouts thus far has 15, and it's Avisel Garcia. 15 Ks for Avi in 37 at-bats. He's only had a single walk to go with that as well. So already the warning signs are there with Avisel Garcia. Yes, he's skinny, and yes, it's 2023, which is an odd year. But the strikeout is there. I also saw him roll into ground into a double play 2 days ago, which wasn't encouraging. No walks. And overall, okay, you could say the power's there. He's hit two home runs, so he's leading the club. But at the same time, Avisel Garcia right now with an OPS 16. So it's not been an overly encouraging spring for Avi. The strikeout is high. No walks really to go with it. Couple of doubles, though, and a couple of home runs. So I'd like to see that come down, the strikeout from Avi. I'd like to see a little bit more contact, clearly, and I'm sure the Marlins will do too. Jazz Chisholm also has got 14 Ks in 40 at-bats, so his strikeout rate is relatively high. He's got three walks to go with that too, and as already mentioned, nine hits. His OPS has dropped over the last couple of days, so he's now at 704. So he's had a rough couple of days, Jazz, I would say, from the offensive side. Defensively, there's been no challenges. Clearly, that's going to be one of the key things for Jazz is, can he man center field at an average or above average level? Clearly, that's what we're hoping for, whilst maintaining the offensive production. That's going to be the key. The one guy that really stands out, though, is Gerard Encarnacion in terms of the numbers here, in terms of strikeout numbers. 13 Ks in 25 at-bats. He's also had six walks as well. So wild, wild numbers from Gerard Encarnacion. Really intrigued to see the way his career ends up with the Marlins. I've felt for some time that his face hasn't quite fit. So I'm intrigued to see what they do. Let's tell you about our good friends over at... Hold on. Where's those graphics gone? Let's tell you about our good friends over at the Ultimate Baseball GM. Let's get these graphics fired up. There's a QR code for you there, guys. So for those watching and enjoying YouTube, there is a QR code. Hit it up. If you've ever dreamed about being a baseball GM, then this is the perfect one for you guys. You can manage every strategic aspect of your team. Play through the season, lead your team to glory. You're responsible for everything, guys. Absolutely everything. Hitting, hiring the right coaches, staff, managing team finances, scouting and drafting. All those difficult personalities in the clubhouse, you need to manage them. Navigating the franchise through free agency, all the ups and downs of a season. It is all there in this challenging and realistic game world. Ultimate Baseball GM is completely free, playable offline so you can play on the go as you want, when you want to. Locked On Marlins listeners get 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo Locked On in the game store. So make sure to check it out. To download the game, just visit probaseballgm.com or scan the QR code that you can see here or look it up on any of the app stores out there. That's probaseballgm.com. Ultimate Baseball GM, start your dynasty today. All right, so one, or maybe a couple of final stats here just to finish off for today. So we've talked about power. Doesn't look that encouraging. Contact, equally, not overly encouraging thus far, albeit some of the main guys we'd expect contact from haven't been with the club. Strikeouts remain high for some of the usual protagonists, and they're actually the guys that look to hit for power. So that is the typical trade-off. What about getting on base? What are we seeing from getting on guys trying to get on base? Well, this one is encouraging in some ways. John Birdie is pacing the club by some distance. Birdie, 9 walks in 29 at-bats. Gerardo Encarnacion, as I mentioned, 25 at-bats for 6 walks. And Nicky Fortes, he's struggling with his knees at the moment. 5 walks for Fortes. Great to see. Jorge Soler as well, 4 walks for just 7 Ks. So some of these guys, particularly Birdie, is getting himself on base. He then also has 3 stolen bases. He's been caught stealing twice as well. Birdie OPSing at an 841 clip, which is great to see. I've talked about Birdie plenty this offseason. I think Birdie's going to play a ton. I think he's going to be an impact player for the Marlins right across the diamond and maybe out into the outfield too. We'll wait to see on that one, but encouraging signs there for Birdie. Encouraging signs, I would say, for Gerrit Cooper, for Jesus Sanchez. Discouraging signs, I would say, for Avisail Garcia. Overall, as a fan base, and I think as a club, we just want to see something, a glimmer of hope where Avisail Garcia finds it, tweaks it, and just delivers what we're expecting. Anywhere near to average years for Avisail Garcia. As I mentioned on Twitter yesterday, and a few people commented on this, the Marlins, the way they've gone, the way they've acquired Luis Arraez and Gene Segura, I absolutely love those signers. I love those two players. I think they look fantastic. I think they're going to be great in this Marlins lineup as the table setters, if that's the kind of role you want to describe them as. The reality is you can set the table, but you have to have the guys behind them that are going to drive them in. I think Gerrit Cooper can do it in his own way. It's going to be contact heavy for Coop, as we know. But then it comes down to, can Jorge Soler and Avisail Garcia do their thing? If they can, and Jazz Chisholm equally is there as well, you've got a 1-6 that looks really, really strong and can make some noise. Arraez, Segura, Coop, Jazz, Avisail, Jorge Soler. You've then got Nicky Fortes that I think can hold the stick as well and do some damage. So it just comes down to can he turn it around? Can Soler stay healthy and can he deliver? We'll wait to see. Thanks for making Locked On Marlins your first listen of the day, guys. I hope you've enjoyed this one. You may not have been looking at the stats, and I really haven't been that closely. I think one thing is we shouldn't get too distracted by wins and losses, but trends are emerging in terms of the numbers that we're seeing over the past, 20 games or so now. Yes, it is spring, but the reality is starting to set in here for the players that we're only a week away. And in a week's time, it's for real. And all of the guys want to be ready to go. With that being said, I'll see you guys tomorrow.